God, we just thank you, Lord, for this time together. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Pray, Lord, that I would just be your instrument just to speak according to what you would have us learn this morning. And God, we just give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. It's good to be here. It's good to be here in the house of the Lord with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. There's no greater joy that we can experience than being together in this place. Amen. Amen. So we are continuing our legacy series. And if you have not been with us the first week, we've talked about leaving a legacy. And we talked about the unnamed prophet. And even though he was unnamed, he was a man of God, and that's what he became known as. Then we went into talking about excellency and doing all things with excellence. So hopefully you've made that shift in your life where you want to be excellent in all things, and even cleaning the floors at your house or in doing the grass in your yard, that you want to be excellent, right? And everything that you do, you should do it with excellence as unto the Lord. And then the third part was generosity, learning how to be generous givers, because really what we have is ultimately a gift given to us from God. And so it belongs to him. We're just called to steward over that which God has entrusted to us. Everything that you have, including your kids, your home, your cars, your money, everything belongs to the Lord. And we are just to steward well. And last week we talked about going after God, a heart after God. And what does that look like to seek after him with all of your heart? And hopefully you were inspired to go deeper, not just to settle for sitting on the pew on Sunday morning, and we are glad that you're here, but to have a heart that is wanting to be with God, wanting to be in his presence, wanting to go after him with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Amen. Because that's what he did for us. He pursued us with his entire being. He gave his son, Jesus Christ, on the cross and pursued after us. He wanted a relationship with us. And so today, the next part of this is called character counts. And so we're going to be talking about what it means to have character in our lives. And I'm going to start off with a quote from John Maxwell. It says, "We teach what we know, but we reproduce who we are." Amen. So if you guys have kids, you can fuss your kids a certain way and they have expectations and tell them all these things. But ultimately, they are going to become who you are, not what you say. And so we're talking about character, not only talking the talk, but walking the walk, right? And so that's a deep word. And character is portrayed whenever you're in those trying moments, whenever you're in those situations. You're the deepest thing that's within you will eventually come out, and it's known to everyone. So I have just a definition for us as we begin. The Bible places significant emphasis on developing godly character. So character in biblical context refers to the moral and ethical qualities that define an individual. It is the essence of who a person is, shaped by their values, their beliefs, and their actions. Everyone in this place has character. Some people have good character. Some people not so much, right? Their character is not that great. But that's not you guys, right? You guys are in this church, and you guys are full of godly character. We're just going to proclaim that over your lives, right? But we all have character, and it's all on display each and every day. Now, I'm not saying that you do this perfectly, right? I'm not saying that you have moments where you slip up and you're out of character. But for the most part, there hopefully, if you have been saved any portion of time, that there is a godly character that is consistent in your life. And there are many stories in the Bible that we can kind of glean from and see men and women of God who displayed godly character. But probably one of my favorite ones to talk about regarding this subject is the man named Joseph. Amen. Joseph was a man of character. We're going to be looking at his story in Genesis chapter 39, verse 1 through 10. Genesis chapter 39, verse 1 through 10. So if you are not familiar with the story of Joseph, Joseph was one of 12 brothers. His father was Jacob, and he was loved by his father Jacob. He was the favorite child. Anybody knows what that's like to be the favorite child? Any of you, Carlo lifting his hand over here. anyway, that really threw me off. But Jacob, his favorite child was Joseph, right? And so Joseph, had this coat of many colors, and this was a gift given to him by his father. And he would parade his coat around because, look at me, I'm dad's favorite, right? And if that wasn't enough, one day he has a dream. God gives him a dream. And in this dream was said that his brothers would come to him and actually bow down. And so Joseph, probably by mistake, just tells his brothers his dream. He's like, hey, guess what? I had this dream, and it was awesome. You guys were bowing down to me. And they were like, oh, yeah, here he is. We already hate this dude, right? And then now he's going to come brag about that, the fact that we're going to bow down to this kid. And he was the youngest at the time. Benjamin had not yet come. And so he tells them the dream, and they become so angry with him. And at first, their own flesh and blood were wanting to kill him. Like, hey, let's just take him out. Let's just kill him. But then thankfully, we had two guys that kind of step into his defense, Reuben and also Judah. And eventually what came about was that he was sold to a band of Ishmaelites that were traveling through the area at the time. And so they said, look, instead of killing him, he is flesh and blood. Let's just make a little money off of him. And so he is sold to the Ishmaelites. And then he is sold again to a man named Potiphar in Egypt. And so that's where we kind of pick up our story today, this man named Potiphar. And it says, now Joseph had been brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, had bought him from the Ishmaelites who had brought him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man, and he was in the house of his Egyptian master. Now, up to this point, we can already begin to see, you know, some of his character display. First of all, if you're favored by your father, I would imagine that you're doing something right. I would imagine that there's something that's in alignment. You're walking in obedience. You're walking in respect. And so far, we can kind of maybe see some of these things. It says that the Lord was with him. And one of the greatest attests to our success in this life can be found in the fact that the Lord is with us. Amen. So if the Lord is with us, he will cause you to succeed. But if the Lord is not with you, then you can forget about success, right? And so Joseph was in close relationship with the Lord, and the Lord was with him. The Lord made him to become a successful man, and he was in the house of his Egyptian master. Now, I like this because many of us work a job, or many of you work a secular job in which your boss or your supervisor or whoever it may be a committed pagan. And you might be able to say, yep, that's right, meaning that he does not serve the Lord. Joseph finds himself in a place of an Egyptian master who did not know the Lord, who is pagan, but yet it says that the Lord caused him to prosper even in that. Meaning, we've talked about working with excellency. Joseph worked unto the Lord. No matter who was his master, no matter who was his boss, no matter who was his supervisor, Joseph worked unto the Lord, and the Lord blessed him, and the Lord made him successful. I've known what this was like because I've had this happen to me in my life where I've had supervisors who were like, my goodness, you know, and they were very difficult to work with. But at the same time, I knew that I was working unto the Lord. And so as I worked unto the Lord began to bless me, and the Lord began to multiply me. The same is happening in Joseph's story. Even though he's in this place with this Egyptian master, he was still successful because he did all things unto the Lord. It says, the Lord was with Joseph, and he became successful. We can't be successful without the Lord. Amen. Everything that we have, everything that the Lord has given us, is because the Lord has given it to us, amen? He has given you the talents, the abilities, the resources. He's put you in the family that you were in. It's all because of the Lord. The Lord's done this. So if we're to be men and women who are successful, that means we are to be men and women who are in close relationship to the Lord. And so this is some of the character traits that are being portrayed thus far in Joseph's life. It, you know, to be successful, first of all, it proved that he was industrious. that he was hardworking. All these principles that we've talked about thus far in this series, you know, promotion doesn't come to people who are slothful. Promotions doesn't come to people who are lazy. But promotions come to those who work hard and who are diligent. You can't just show up on a job and be like, oh, I want top pay. You know, and you're like freshly out of high school and you don't really have like, you know, any skills or anything. But I want the top pay. No. Promotions and raises and all these things come by proving yourself to be a hard worker. Joseph was industrious, he was honest, he was diligent in his business. He was not slothful by any stretch of the imagination. Verse 3 says, his master saw that the Lord was with him. So the people around you at your workplace, they will begin to take notice that the Lord is with you. Was with him in that the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. So Joseph found favor in his sight and attended him. And he made him overseer of his house and put him in charge of all that he had from the time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had. And so Potiphar finds Joseph to be faithful. He finds Joseph to be, you know, trustworthy is another good word to use. I'm going to trust you with everything that I have. Now, how many people in your life you can actually say that to? Like, everything that you have, everything that you have worked for thus far, I'm entrusting it to this person to take care of it and to, because I believe that the Lord is with him. Do you have someone like that in your life? Joseph was that person, you know, for Potiphar. He didn't have any hesitation or any fear of what would happen to his resources because he's seen that the Lord was with Joseph. He was a trustworthy man, another good characteristic to have, trustworthiness. So Joseph, as we see so far, he had favor with God and he had favor with man. I mean, I want both, right? I want to have favor with God. I want to be in right standing with God. But favor of man as well, because God uses man to bless his people. And that's what we're going to see in the next verse. It says, the Lord blessed the Egyptians' house for Joseph's sake. Did you read that? The Lord blessed the Egyptians' house for Joseph's sake. Like, your job is blessed because of you. Because you are a believer in Christ. Because you put him first in your life. You live according to godly principles. And therefore, the Lord blesses businesses because of his people. Amen? And so it says, so he left all that he had in Joseph's charge, and because of him, he had no concern about anything but the food that he ate. And so he says, you're going to take care of it all. I'm going to trust you to do that, and I'm going to eat me some bread, you know. And so he grabs, that's all he had to worry about was what he had to eat. Like, today I'm going to eat something else. And everything was in Joseph's hands. Now, also like this too, because you know what God does? Even though Joseph was in Egypt, in a place far away from his hometown, that God causes the wealth of the wicked, and he lays it up for the righteous. Amen. In fact, there's a scripture about that in Proverbs 13:22. It says, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the sinner's wealth is laid up for the righteous. I believe that the Lord is laying up treasures for the righteous. Amen. That the wealth of this world, the wealth of the wicked, is laid up for the righteous. It's meant for God's people. And we will see this in Joseph's life. Now, other things about Joseph. It says, if we continue reading, it says, now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. And so the man looked good. All right? He was single, and he took care of his body. That word form actually talks about his shape, his outline, his figure, his appearance. And so we were talking about his exterior looks. The man was a good-looking man, all right? And so he had everything going on for him. He not only worked hard and was diligent in his work, but he looked the part too. And it says this in verse 7. It says, after a time, his master's wife cast her eyes on Joseph and said, lie with me. Now, if you were to put this plain and direct and simple, basically she would be saying, have sex with me. That's what she would be saying. Joseph, have sex with me. Now, if the Lord has blessed you in this room with remarkable beauty, and the Lord has given this to you, then you also have to guard yourself of that temptation. Because there will be people who come to you, and there will be people who throw themselves at you. And so therefore you must guard against this. And so this was an outright assault against a man of God. We must realize that we are in a spiritual war. We are in a spiritual battle, and that the enemy of our soul longs to destroy, to steal, to kill, and destroy our lives. And this is a real attack against a good man, a good-looking man, according to the Bible, but a good, godly man. And the assault is not just on Joseph. The assault is on all of us today who proclaim the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So that whenever you are saved, whenever you decide to live for the Lord Jesus, that you become an enemy to the devil. It's like you've awakened the chain, you've awakened the dog, you shook the chain of a sleeping dog, and now he's coming after you. It doesn't matter, though. It doesn't matter, because we know that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Amen. So the temptation for Joseph was a very real temptation. It's not like, you know, according to some scholars, she was an attractive woman, Potiphar's wife. And so this temptation was real. It was a real thing. But we can't be shocked whenever the world acts like the world. She was a pagan. She did not serve the Lord God. And so whenever we see that she is willing to cheat on her husband, Potiphar, and she is willing to not show any restraint with her sexuality, we can only say, well, pagans will act like pagans. This world will act like this world. But those of us who are in Christ Jesus, we should act differently, right? We should act with godly character. We are not like this world. Joseph was an Israelite. He was a man of covenant with God, the God who created all things. And so for him to even entertain this thought, it was like, no way, I'm a man of God. I'm a man of God. So the question becomes, well, would Joseph give in to this temptation? Will he just give in to the lust of his flesh, like in this moment? Would he do it, or would he rise up to the occasion? Is there a character inside of Joseph that enables him to rise up even above this? And I would like to say that Joseph was tempted one time, and that was it. But let's look at what he says in verse 8. It says, but he refused. He refused. He said, no way. I am a man of God. I cannot do this thing. I cannot sin against my master. I cannot and I will not do this. He refused. The Bible says in James chapter 4, verse 7, that we can submit ourselves, therefore, to God, and that we have the power to resist the devil, and that he will flee from us. But many times, instead of resisting the devil, we entertain the devil. We allow him to speak into our minds. We allow him to plant his thoughts in our lives. Joseph, he rose up as the man of God that he was, and he resisted the devil. It says that he refused to give in to what she was wanting. But look what happens next. It says, and he said to his master's wife, behold, because of me, my master has no concern about anything in the house. He has put everything that he has in my charge. He is not greater in this house than I am. Nor has he kept back anything from me except you, because you are his wife. And so Joseph quickly reminds Potiphar's wife who she belongs to and who she does not belong to. You do not belong to me, you belong to him. I do not belong to you, I belong to the Lord. Amen. And so he says, there's nothing greater in this house than I am. Then look what he says. The very next line says, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against who? Sin against God. He realized his sin was not just about against Potiphar. His sin would not be just about Potiphar's wife. His sin would not even be against himself, but his sin would be against God. I cannot do this. I cannot offend God. I cannot sin against God. Because God is watching in this very moment. Even though no one else is, and it seems like the opportunity affords me, God is watching right now. What will I do in this private moment when no one else is looking? Will I be a man of integrity? Will I resist temptation? Will I resist what the enemy is throwing at me? Will I rise up? How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? You know, we need some people, some men and women of God who would be willing to call sin for what it is. Notice what he calls this affront. He doesn't look at it as an opportunity. He doesn't look at it as something enticing. He says, this is a great wickedness. And I'm here to say, look, this generation, this world needs some Christians to rise up and begin to call sin as it is. It is sin. It is against God's word. It is wrong. It is a great wickedness. That's what godly character produces, this willingness to stand up and confront sin in a loving way. Yes, we don't need to be judgmental, and we don't need to beat people down with sticks. But what we do need to do is be willing to say, this is what the Bible says, and this is sin. Amen? That was a weak amen, but I'll take it. Romans chapter 5, verse 3 to 5 says, not only this. Oh, I'm jumping ahead of myself. Hold on 1 second. So he says, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Verse 10 says, and as she spoke to Joseph, day after day, he would not listen to her to lie beside her or to be with her. And so this was, again, this assault of his integrity, this assault of his character wasn't just one time. Every single day, Joseph rose to the occasion and says, no, how can I do this sin against my God? No, I will be a man of integrity. I will be a man of character. No. Get behind me, Satan. You will not prevail. No, I am a man of God. The enemy doesn't come just one time in your life to tempt you. He knows your weakness, and he knows your weakness. And our weaknesses may be different from each other's, and he will continue to bombard. He will continue to assault your life. He's relentless. We must be relentless as well. We must be even more relentless in our pursuit of who God is and trying to live a life that is honoring and pleasing unto him. You know, it's only by the grace of God that Joseph is able to overcome this temptation. Only by God's grace. Andy Stanley says this. He says, character is the will to do what is right as defined by God, not defined by us. Not defined by what we think is right. Character is the will to do what is right as defined by God, regardless of personal cost. Now, there was a lot of cost involved with Joseph's case. For one, this Potiphar's wife was kind of an authority over his life. She was married to Potiphar, and Joseph was sold as a slave to that house. So therefore, what would it mean for Joseph if he disobeyed an order from Potiphar's wife? He could be demoted. He could be imprisoned. Maybe even worse, he could be killed on the spot if he disobeyed this direct order from her. But what would be worse, to disobey her or to disobey God? Character is the will to do what is right as defined by God, regardless of personal cost. This cost Joseph greatly because whenever she didn't get what she wanted, you know what happens to Joseph? She falsely accuses him of rape. She begins to cry out to her guards and her servants that were nearby, and they come in and they arrest him. And they throw him in prison. This had a cost. This had a cost for living a life of integrity, living a life of character, of godly character. It cost Joseph his freedom in this moment. And living for God in this day and age and being a person of character, in this day and age has a cost, as we've seen this past week. It has a cost. If you were to continue reading, you realize that this moment in Joseph's life, it seemed to be very grim. But how many of you guys know that God is always in the process of using those things together for the good of those who are called and are loved by him? That this moment in Joseph's life, it was but a stepping stone to the promise that God had laid up for him. That God was bringing Joseph. Joseph had to go to prison so that he can talk to the baker, so he can talk to the butler, he can interpret their dreams, so that ultimately he can stand before Pharaoh and interpret his dreams, so that ultimately he can become the second in command in Egypt, ultimately so that God would provide and protect his people. And so God had this plan, and we don't always understand God's plan. We don't understand his ways, but we must trust that God is sovereign and he is in control of all things. Amen. That God was working together all things for Joseph's good. And that's hard to see in the moment. That's hard to see when we're looking right at it in that very instance. Joseph, he experienced some suffering. He experienced hardships. And I believe, like, in our hardships and in our suffering, this is where character is forged, right? Every single day that he rose up and to combat the enemy, and he rose up just believing that God was on his side, that God was with him, that he was going to honor God, his character was being forged in fire. So that ultimately, whenever he did become second in command of Egypt, that he would have within him the character that it took to lead that nation, that he would have within him just the ability and the wisdom that Pharaoh just said, Joseph, whatever you see fit, do it, whenever the famine came and Joseph began to act in wisdom. But suffering and hardships, this produces in us character according to Romans 5, verse 3 to 5. It says, not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings. What? We rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that the suffering produces endurance. And endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to you. That through the trials and through the tribulations and all the difficulties that you're going through in this life, that God is working in you. He's causing you to endure, and that endurance is producing some character in your life. You're coming out better on the other side of this than when you first went into this. Amen? This should be encouraging to someone this morning, that God is refining you, and he is making you into the man or the woman of God that you were called to be in Christ Jesus our Lord. So why is it necessary to cultivate godly character? Why is it necessary to be a man of character or a woman of character? I believe that as we are being refined and as we're being made more and more like Christ, that our faith is being strengthened. Men, we are being strengthened. We are being immovable. Our faith is growing to the point where I trust in God no matter what. Look at what he brought me from. Look at what he brought me through in Joseph's life. Man, I was tempted every single day, and I didn't give in because God was with me. He pulled me through, and he's walking with me, and I know that he'll continue to walk with me. Our faith begins to grow, right, as we become men and women of character. Another thing that happens is that we provide in this earth a standard of living. We provide in this earth a standard of living. In other words, this is how a man or woman of God walks. This is how a man of God or woman talks. You know, and so we provide this standard in the earth where people look at your lives and be like, you're different. Something different about you. And you can say, yes, that's the godly character that's being forged in the fire. Yes, I'm different because I am a child of God. I belong to him. I don't belong to this world anymore. I don't belong to my selfish desires. I belong to him. I am the setting the standard. Amen. Because ultimately we can be like Paul. And Paul says this, he says, follow me as I follow Christ. That's what we're called to be in this earth. Follow me as I follow Christ. Look at my life, look at my example as I follow him. You're called to be a standard. And then why we should cultivate godly character, it because it demonstrates that our behaviors and our actions are in alignment with biblical principles. That God's word has come into our heart. He has brought about this change. He has worked in us, and our lives become in alignment with his word. And this, again, this generation needs to see people, men and women of God of integrity, men and women of God who are of the word of God, of character. You know, because you may think, well, no one was really watching Joseph. He could have did whatever he wanted to. How many guys know that nothing is hidden from the eyes of the Lord? In fact, that's what Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13 says, and no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him whom we must give an account. So we live according to these biblical principles. We develop character in our lives because ultimately God is watching. And I don't know about you. I'm pretty sure you are. But I want to hear those words. Well done, my good and faithful servant. I've been watching you. I've been watching. I watched your entire life. I've seen everything that you did. I've seen all the mess ups. But I also seen the fact that you've accepted my son Jesus. And all your sins have been imputed to him. And all of his righteousness has been imputed to you. And so I don't see those things anymore. All I see is a person who has come through the fire, a person who has been refined in this world. I see a person who is shining bright like a diamond. I see a person, when faced with adversity, you still hung on to your faith and you still believed and you still walked in integrity. I see a person refined in the fire. We desperately need some men and women of God displaying godly character in this earth. And that brings me to the last thing I want to talk about this morning. As all of you know, there was a man this past week who was brutally killed. And you know, my wife had asked me, said, you seen what happened to Charlie Kirk? And really, honestly, at the moment, I didn't know who he was. But she's like, how do you not know who he is? This guy, I mean, he was legit. As I began to look at videos of, you know, some of the things that he said, you know, with his faith and everything, this guy made some declarations with his faith. He had a strong belief in God. And he let the world know. He was not ashamed of that. In fact, this is one of his last posts on X. He says, Jesus defeated death so you can live. This was one of his last posts on X, and he was a man of character, I believe. In fact, I have another clip I'd like to show you. It's a video clip. If you could turn that sound up. This kind of things that were important to him. I want you to hear it from him.
Die? Everything just goes away. How would you, if you could be associated with one thing, how would you want to be remembered?
I want to be remembered for courage for my faith. That would be the most important thing. Most important thing is my faith in my life.
The most important thing to him was his faith. Most important thing was declaring the name of Jesus. And you see that in the way that he handled people, even controversial subjects, did it in such love. We need more men and women of God who would be willing to stand up like he was able to stand up and just boldly declare faith, boldly declare the things of God, boldly walk in character. This world needs it. This world is desperate. It's desperate. It's longing for the revealing of the true sons of and daughters of God. They've seen so much fake. They're looking for the real. You know, they've seen fake church. I don't want to be fake church. I want to be people who are Christians and who are real. When people look at our lives, they see Jesus. They see godly character. They see a man of God who's been forged in the fire. They see a woman of God whose faith has been forged in the fire. They stood up against adversity and they did not back down. You know, you think of the martyrs in biblical times, and they did pretty much the same thing. They believed God's word. They believed that Jesus was the Messiah, and they said some hard things. And many people did not like them for it. In fact, many of them were, pretty much all of the disciples were killed as martyrs, sawn in half, crucified upside down. I am not worthy to be crucified as my Lord. Crucify me upside down. We look at martyrs even in this world today. To proclaim the name of Jesus, they risk their lives and the lives of their families. People who are men and women of character says, I believe in this word. I believe in the power of this word. I believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord. I believe in these principles because they have forged my life. They have forged who I am today. They have made me into who I am. And I will stand upon the word of God, and I will not back down. Whatever happens, as Joseph looks at Potiphar's wife and says, whatever takes place, whatever you want to do to me, it does not matter because God is watching. God is watching, and everything that I do, I want to be honoring unto him. I have an audience of one. If God is happy with my life, it doesn't matter if anyone else disagrees with it. Let's be men and women of character. Let's be men and women who stand up for truth, who reflect God's glory in the earth. Amen. Bow your heads and close your eyes, please. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, so much for all that you have done. We thank you, Lord, for your truth, the truth of the Word of God, how your truth is able to save us and deliver us and make us into whom you want us to be. We thank you for this story, Lord God, about Joseph and how he withstood the temptation. He resisted. He was a man of character. Teach us, teach those of us in this room, Lord God, who are just dealing with temptation, Lord, that they will rise to the occasion, that they will do as Joseph and resist temptation, that they will be men and women of character, that we'll be willing to stand up for what we believe. Godly truth, godly wisdom. Lord, your ways are better than ours. And so, Lord, today we just ask, God, that you would cause us to be men and women of God of character in a world where character counts. We want to be real. We don't want to be fake. So, God, if there's any fakeness in our lives, if there's anything, God, that doesn't look like you, God, we ask that you would remove it from our lives, change us and make us more and more like you. God, forgive us when we have not walked in character, when we have not walked with integrity, when we have not walked with honor, when we have not done our best, when we have not been industrious and resourceful in using the things, God, that you have entrusted to us. Father, forgive us. And make us whole. I pray for each and every person in this place today. God, that your spirit would just envelop them. Lord, that you will cast out all fear from their lives. Lord, that you will just fill them, Lord, the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, this power, this presence, that we know that you are with us in all things. So, God, we thank you for that. And we thank you that you are making us into men and women of God of character. We love you, O Lord, and we just give you all the praise in this place today for all that you have done, for all that you continue to do in our lives and those around us. We love you, and we worship you, and we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' mighty name. And let the church say, amen.
Amen. Would you stand to your feet this morning? Can we pray a blessing over you and your family? We know we go into a world, the Bible says in 1 Peter 5:8, that the enemy is looking to devour. And we walk into that world full of character, full of godliness, but we just want to pray that a blessing over you. So we're going to extend our hands to you, if you will extend your hands out, and we're just going to speak that over you and your family. Lord, we declare, God, that your power is greater. Greater is he that lives on the inside of us than he that lives in this world. God, we thank you that when we walk out of the doors, God, that we will be the head and not the tail. God, we will be above and not beneath. God, we pray for blessings over our family and our children and our generations come behind us. God, we pray that we would live lives of legacy. God, that we would leave character. God, that we would live excellently. God, we would live generously, Lord God. And we thank you, God, that we'll have a heart after you. God, that like Paul, we will say, Lord God, follow me as I follow Christ. God, we thank you for the blessings of God, the favor of God, like Joseph. God, over our jobs, over our schools, Lord. God, over the places that we walk, we thank you that everywhere we walk, Lord, that we declare it to be your ground. In the name of Jesus, we all pray and we say with a mighty resounding amen and hallelujah. We love you guys. Join us at somewhere, sometime. And we do have a money move Sunday sit down in the cafe if you want to do the finances as well.